Death and boobies.
And welcome to episode 2 of A Podcast Has No Name. But we've got many names. I'm Seth, first of his name, House Dunlap here. We've got Styles, Mike Styles, Stina, Christina Miranda. We've got Kat.
Death from and Boobies. Bayou Death and Boobies.
You did offer to.
I'll sing the theme song.
The theme song. Since we had to.
Legally use it.
Right. We had to change our theme.
Yes.
So you'll be our theme song
Death
queen.
Death and Boobies. Death and Boobies.
See, that
everybody
works.
Now. Yeah. Death and Boobies.
And of course, Teapot from B97. So let's get into it here. We will recap and then, of course, go through all of our crazy predictions and theories and everything. But let's start. And so let's start before we get to the theme. We saw the recap like they usually do. And it was interesting to me, looking back on it, watching it for the third time today, that the crossbow was in there, and Tyrion's scene where he killed his dad was in there.
Yeah.
And that comes up. Anything else from the pre-roll that you guys thought might have been important?
I don't know. You know what? I didn't even pay attention to the pre-roll. From the previous seasons before, I never do that. I always skip.
Oh, really?
Blind?
You're a skipper.
Skip?
Wow, that's...
Oh, my God. That's the best part. I remember, Benjen Stark came up on like the previously on Game of Thrones. We hadn't like heard or seen of him. Cold Hands. That's for the stuff I like it, but I think we all know what's coming.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of was just too excited to even process.
I did notice the crossbow, and then they showed when Arya was blind real quick.
Yeah.
Mm,
so
yes.
I don't know. I don't know why they would do that. So long.
The Arya blind. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. See, I would always skip them because I've watched the episode so many times that I'm like, I don't need this recap. I know it by the back of my hand. Oh, oops. I've been doing it wrong.
Which kind of a power play, though.
You
your memory would have to be so sharp. I like it.
Well, when I saw the crossbow when Qyburn handed it to Bronn, I was like, oh, yeah, that's the crossbow he killed his dad with.
Yeah.
And also, like the one that Joffrey had when he killed
Ross. Ross.
See, I've watched them so many times.
So you
know.
Same crossbow as, or kind of, what do they call it, the scorpion? That goes
big one is scorpion.
Yeah. It's like the Lannister weapon of choice, I guess.
Yes, it is.
That and poison.
Yep. Opening credits. Cool. First time we've seen entirely redone opening credits. We were watching it together, me and Christina and Mike. We were kind of freaking out. So the progression, it's through the wall first, and we see winter coming. After that, First Hearth makes an appearance, probably for the last time.
Yeah.
Winterfell, they go also into the Great Hall, which is cool because that's going to play a role, as will the Crypts.
Yeah,
King's,
that was neat.
King's Landing, they show the Scorpion, said. Scorpion into the Dragon Skull, the Iron Throne, and then a new sun or astrolabe or whatever they call it.
Right.
Which isn't really sun anymore. It's more of a darkened out. And a much darker theme in the opening. Not really sun shining. So, thoughts on the opening credits?
I was really, really upset because they kept having the Baratheon sigil on top of King's Landing. I was like, no, it's Cersei Lannister.
Yeah.
Be a lion. So whenever they finally had a lion.
Finally had a lion.
Yeah. Oh, made my heart happy, guys.
It's a cute lion, too, for such a bitch.
You're gonna roar, guys.
Hate her so much.
Me too, thank you.
She's
biggest homebody over here.
She used to be sort of smart. Ish.
And
now
empathetic.
She is like, poof, what is she?
She's lost her mind a little bit,
well,
for sure.
She lost her kids, and she lost her
But look, mind. That's the thing. Remember, Tywin said that she always was more clever, like she thought she was more clever than she actually was.
Yes.
So, like, she thinks that she's up here, but really, she's like here.
Yeah.
Which is
she's
why,
in
not
trouble.
To get ahead of ourselves, it's so disappointing that, like, she's had Tyrion's number, who Sansa said, I thought you were, like, the most clever guy I've ever met. And, like, Cersei's had your number for, like, 2 seasons now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dummy.
So. Dummy.
Well, she's always had the upper hand with him, though, because his weakness is his family. So she's always been able to kind of hurt him in different ways.
Because she doesn't even consider him family except for being the Valonqar, so.
Yeah.
Right.
I will say with Cersei, I was thinking this last night, but didn't want to interrupt our viewing, so I didn't say it when I was thinking it. that every time I hear Cersei speak and the dialogue they write for her sounds so much like Tywin. Like, in my head last night, I was just putting Tywin's voice into,
yes,
like, her dialogue, and it made so much sense.
Yeah.
Like, she,
yes,
is her father's daughter.
Yeah,
although
totally,
maybe not as smart, maybe just as conniving, but not as smart.
Yeah,
that
as
is
Tywin
true.
Was.
Just like him. She,
yeah,
thinks she's as conniving and as smart as him, but
she's,
yeah,
not. She's
poor
losing
girl.
It.
She's willing to do whatever, like, as far as brutality is concerned, but there's just not as much strategy.
I'll say
she's
willing,
doing,
to do whatever with Euron Greyjoy.
Yes.
What? Yeah. Did she even make him take a shower?
That's what
I'm like, he was just on that
he
boat.
Better get in that
he
bathtub.
He heard that queen fair and square,
yes,
guys.
He was just on that boat all dirty.
And then she's like, the elephants, though. I need to be alone.
I really wanted those elephants.
Let's go scene by scene here and get your thoughts and biggest takeaways. The first scene is the opening scene in Winterfell, which was almost a straight copy from episode one.
Yeah.
Even the music was similar, a little bit redone. I thought that was A-plus stuff. That was,
yeah,
10,
yeah,
out of 10.
Yeah.
I loved that scene. You
the
saw
marching,
the boy running,
mm-hmm,
and then climbing just like Bran,
yeah,
did.
Yeah. The whole thing was just fantastic. It's like almost like the next generation,
mm-hmm,
of,
yeah,
like
Arya looking at the Hound, like seeing the Hound when they were all coming up. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Arya was smiling at the little boy because she was like, I knew what that was like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being so,
and then
excited
when they were lining up.
Yeah.
Someone said, "Where's Arya?" Oh, she's running around playing, just like season the first episode
with Jon Snow. Or actually, I don't know. Would it be Daenerys or Jon Snow playing the role of Robert, and then
Daenerys,
the other one playing Cersei?
Oh.
As like the king and queen coming to,
been,
I guess it depends on what character you are, how you perceive them, and who you're,
so
you know.
Yeah, Arya's point of view was fantastically done because you could see her very subtle, and Maisie Williams did such a good job at this, the actress that plays Arya, subtle different reactions to everybody passing by. You could see her kind of sad that maybe Jon didn't notice her, and then she sees the dragons and she's super happy.
Yeah.
She sees the Hound and she's like, oh, I want to kill this guy.
Yeah, I was surprised, not to get ahead, but like their reunion was pretty icy. Like, where they spent two full seasons together and they were kind of tight, and like, I know that
she
left
really
him for dead, but she didn't stab him. That was Brienne of Tarth.
I think she said, and she made a little comment about it, watch the cast and crew. She goes, that's both of their defense mechanisms, just to be icy cold like that. So
I think they really like each other.
I think they really like each other.
I mean, but he was on her death list.
I don't
think
she
took him
off.
She took him off.
Yeah.
She didn't kill him. She left
like
him
that.
For dead, and she robbed him first.
Yeah.
And that made him proud. I think that's why he likes her.
I do, too. And that's why I was surprised he was so, you know, it was for one thing for Arya, too, but for...
I was surprised that he was more icy towards her.
Exactly.
Right.
Me, too.
Right.
But probably because she robbed him.
Yeah, like you said.
She reminded him.
Yeah.
So subtly
him.
Reminded him, no doubt.
He knows she's a badass.
Yeah.
You know, he knows that. Some of the other family members don't know that yet, really, about her.
Even Jon Snow, like, have you used this yet? She's like,
look
at my cold dead face.
He's like, I'm a faceless murderer. I'm like a psycho.
A few more takeaways from the opening scene with me. Some quotes. One was the first time we heard this many times throughout the episodes, that Northerners don't much trust outsiders. It seems to me they're setting it up where Daenerys is going to do something to gain the trust of the North. I don't know what that is or when that's going to happen, perhaps even as soon as next episode. Also, Jon and Bran had their reunion, and great little dialogue where Jon says, you're a man, and then Bran says, almost.
Yeah. And then Sansa kind of side-eyes like, oh, you have no idea what the fuck you're dealing with.
Creepy. He's all
black
like
sheep.
I know. He's like staring at everyone's soul and their secrets.
Yeah, even there's like a moment where he and Tyrion are looking at each other from across, like,
what I do.
Like, I know, that's what I was thinking, Tyrion.
He's like,
awkward moment number one, because there's so many awkward moments.
I know.
He just pops out.
Yeah.
He stares. It's almost like every time he stares at somebody, he's like, I know what trash you jerk off
to.
It's kind of true, though. Imagine if you knew this. Imagine if you knew the secret. Right. Imagine if you knew the secrets for everybody.
You to get back in the castle. Yeah. Why is he sitting in the mud all day?
Did you notice Lyanna Mormont's mean mug of the queen of Daenerys?
Talk about how the North, you need to earn their trust. Or you might need to do a serious favor.
She turned on Jon pretty freaking fast, too. Like, I don't even know what she wanted anymore.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
She almost said bastard. She was like, you almost came back as a... I mean, she did.
Yes.
Or I don't know what you are. Yeah, she has to catch herself.
Well, she's going to find out.
Daenerys will do something to win them over, and it's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She's going to, like, one of those dragons are going to eat one of their kids, and she's going to be like, listen, if you don't want this to happen anymore, then you need to like me.
Yeah, that could be.
One of my favorite lines. Yeah, it could be. One of my favorite lines of the show, and certainly maybe the entire series, was when Daenerys and Sansa were meeting, and they were starting to have this little back and forth that we're just discussing here. And Bran, because I was thinking in that moment when I was watching the show, I'm thinking, we don't have time for this. Like, it's a, and Bran says, we don't have time for this. The dead has come, right? Exactly. I loved it. Because we don't have time for that, do we? Like, it's
one of them was going to say, oh, I like your shoes, girl.
Right?
Got him at the TJ Mormont.
Oh, my God. I love your bracelet. Where did you get it?
Yeah,
that's the ugly
TJ Mormont.
Basically.
Oh, fantastic. Man. So
Sansa's got to kind of show her, like, I run this place, though. Like, she's swinging dick. Think that you got it with Jon? No. You have some work to do.
Well, seven years ago, I mean, they came up the King's Road, and, like, all the Northerners bent the knee as soon as Robert and, like, the Lannister clan came, because that's what you do. And Sansa's like, we talked about it immediately after the show. It's like, she needs to put some respect on Danny's name, because she's got, like, you know, I know you have the Knights of the Vale, but she's got, like, she's got you, okay?
Those Dothraki
but she's
savages.
Also upset.
Screamers, right?
He's really never respected her. Like Jon has really never given Sansa the respect that she deserves.
It's true.
I kind of agree.
Like, you know, I mean, she's been through a lot to get that castle back.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Like, she did more than him.
Like, do you know what I went through to get this back?
And I guess we'll get to it, and Tyrion acknowledges that later, which we're almost going to get to. The next scene was the Great Hall scene, and Ned Umber, the young Umber, sent back to the Last Hearth, which obviously portends a bad end to him. You mentioned Lyanna says Jon isn't a king. Says, I'm not even sure what you are now.
You're
of course, great one-liners from Lyanna, like usual. And then the awkward moment was Tyrion stepping out, and I'm initially thinking, what is he going to say that these people are going to respect? And he didn't say anything those people are going to respect. Right, he kind of bumbles his way into, oh, my army, our Lannister army's coming north, and then everybody boos.
At him like,
okay.
He just keeps racking up L's. I'm so disappointed. In,
a lot of L's for Tyrion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, the thing is that none of them can win there. Like, I don't think that any of them understand the North. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, they don't get it. Like, none of you are going to win. And I don't even think Jon gets it. Really. Like,
he's clouded by his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's clouded.
Yeah, right now.
He's so clouded, he doesn't
always
understand
very
it.
Very idealistic. Like, too much.
Yeah.
And like Bran said, like, we don't have time for this. And, like, they're infighting about, like, who is going to sit on the Iron Throne and, like, what's the title for who. Like,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Exactly.
Like, Winter is, like, here. They're literally knocking down the door of the wall, and we're fighting about, like, who likes the title and whatever.
Yeah. Sansa is, again, the practical one, because she mentions, what are we going to do about the dragons? What do the dragons eat? And clapback of the millennium from Daenerys. Whatever they want. With the stare.
Me too.
They don't like the North, the dragons. They don't like the atmosphere. It's too cold. The goats don't taste as good.
The scrawny goats.
The goats and the sheep are gross.
They're gross. What are they going to eat?
I don't know. They might have to go back to Dragonstone and eat and then come back.
Yeah.
Some of the decaying flesh off the Army of the Dead.
Right?
Ooh.
That's what I was hoping, but I don't know if they can eat it.
You are what you eat.
I was going to ask the book readers, can they, is that deadly, the meat, the flesh of
the... We haven't gotten this far. Like, while we're in the show, we have surpassed the books.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next scene is Tyrion and... well, that's a great name for Tyrion and Sansa. Tyrion.
They're a couple names.
Yeah.
I'm still shitting Tyrion.
Are they still married?
Tyrion.
Right? No one gets a divorce there.
They're
still
never annulled it.
They never consummated it, right?
Oh, they never consummated it. Okay.
If you don't bone your divorce, I guess.
Well, you're not even married in the first place. You got to boink.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought there was good interaction between those two because Tyrion says people have underestimated you this whole time and they're all dead. And he's right. Yeah. She's one of the most clever people now in the Seven Kingdoms. She has learned under Cersei. She has learned under Margaery. She's learned under Littlefinger. Even Ramsay Bolton, for as sadistic as he was, very clever and conniving, she may be now the cleverest person in the realm.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, what tricks she might have up her sleeve.
No.
Well, I think that all she is able to strategize now. Yep. Like before, she was always so naive and so trusting of everybody that now I think that she can strategize and she understands the evil that's out there, you know?
Yeah, I wonder what her play would be, because we saw it with Daenerys, like, you know, she couldn't marry, she didn't want to bring over Dario Naharis because she has to, like, wed into an alliance. Like,
yeah.
What does Sansa's look like? Because she's already got the Knights of the Vale. She doesn't need Robert Arryn. I mean, does she go for the Reach? Does she go for, I mean, Dorne is done. The Martells are done.
I have a theory.
Tyrells are done.
I told you.
I don't even.
What is it?
We can jump into theories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, now, I'm going to say his name wrong, so I won't say his name. Okay, the little boy who was breastfed till he was like...
Yeah, Robin Arryn.
He is going to come, because that mother's dead, right? Yeah. So he's not eating all that gross breast milk from this crazy old lady who fell through the moon pie window, right?
Yeah.
Moon pie window.
So those soldiers there have brought him up now, because the mom's gone. He's going to come back like... A Dothraki, like,
you know, they're first cousins.
Oh, you think he's gonna be hot?
I think he's gonna be hot. Yeah, he's totally gonna be hot.
Robert Arryn?
Yes.
Is it Robert Arryn or Robin Arryn?
I thought it was Arryn Robin.
It was Robin Arryn.
Robin Arryn?
The Arryn's a little house name. House Arryn.
That's, oh, but she says they're cousins.
But they're first cousins.
Yeah, well, anyway. Daenerys and Jon are niece and...
Yeah, but that's a Targaryen thing. That's not a Stark thing.
But
the Starks don't
do that. I thought he would come back and save the day, and Sansa will be like, what? Who are you?
I don't think the Starks play that.
I have forgot about Robin, though. And he's got. I think he makes an appearance sometime.
He's done with that crazy woman's breast milk, and he's normal now. and normal. And
I think we've seen him since his
a
mom
warrior.
Died.
Yeah,
we have.
Yeah, and
he's
couple times.
Kind of fucked up.
Yeah. So maybe. I don't know. There's just not enough time. I thought this last episode was going to be like an hour and a half, and then the credits start to roll, and I look over at Seth, I'm like, what the
Yeah,
fuck?
We forgot
like,
the first two or 55 minutes. Yeah, that was our mistake. I believe the first two.
I was hoping the next one would be the long one.
Battle of Winterfell, episode 3.
That's the big one.
1 hour, 22 minutes.
Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. The last scene in Winterfell is actually in near the Weirwood Tree. Arya and Jon have their reunion. Super cool. They've always really liked each other. But Arya did take Sansa's side, and they talk about family. Arya says Sansa's defending the family, and Jon says, I am family, which... Family and John's lineage,
family.
Big part of this episode. And Arya says, "Never forget that," which I could see one of those opening scenes, the looking back where they show that scene and never forget who you are.
Yeah. Love runs
thicker
than water, man.
Yes, it does.
Hard.
Right?
You talked about not respecting Sansa. When he's talking to Arya, he's talking shit about her. She's like, she thinks she's so fucking clever.
Whatever. I know.
And Arya's like,
oh, John
she's
says,
pretty
yeah.
smart.
Yeah.
Dick, that's what she says. Yeah.
I'm telling you, the show, what I've noticed is this show basically shows that all the men have always underestimated all the women.
Yep.
Whether it is Tyrion underestimating Cersei or Jaime underestimating Cersei. Everybody underestimating Daenerys. Also Sansa.
Yes.
Also Arya. Like, if you've got, and the Sand Snakes, if there's a woman on here, she's going to be underestimated.
Yep.
The only person that was overestimated was Marjorie Tyrell. She had gotten out of that.
Yeah.
Poor Marjorie.
She gave the little rose thing to her grandmother.
Yeah.
So much was like, I got this.
Yeah.
She didn't.
She did not have it.
But
no.
She was only
beat
out by
did.
Another woman, though. It's not like a
true.
Dude got her.
That's
I'm telling
true.
You, it's the women, you know.
I agree.
Really...
I think the this show is, if you look back on the arc, is a women's empowerment a little bit. At least part of the themes are women's empowerment.
Yeah.
Show which
kick your ass.
Because they were just focusing on Cersei and Sansa and Daenerys.
Yeah.
And now they're just kind of bringing it together.
Speaking of Cersei, we get a brief moment in King's Landing. Not a lot going on in King's Landing. We mentioned the Cersei Euron connection. But before we get there, Golden Company arrives. And Euron and Yara have an interesting moment. And it was the very brief moment I ever empathized at all for Euron in this whole. Like, he's just a villain that, you know, in the
it's
truest sense of a villain. But he did say, like, oh, I'm the last Greyjoy alive. That's why I haven't killed you, which I kind of believe in. That's probably why he hadn't killed her yet, because she's the only other remaining Greyjoy. And none of his crew can talk because he cut their tongues out.
Exactly. That's why you can't feel bad for him too much. Like, you're the only one to talk to. Well, you kind of made it that way.
Yeah.
It's not you for
he's
doing
so
that.
Crazy.
Yara does say you picked the losing side. I want to get your take on this. Not that I think that Euron's going to switch sides, but do they leave open that possibility? Because he did say, well, I'll just take my ships and we'll sail to the other side.
Yeah.
Would he possibly, could that be coming where he sees Cersei's kind of crazy
Unless
and losing
Cersei
and he sees Daenerys is going to win?
He ain't saying. Have y'all
Even
not
for that baby?
This dude will pack up and go so quick.
Even for that baby? If he
they
thinks
don't,
it's...
He don't give a
but
damn.
But then it's a great a joy.
Up. He will pack up and go. Like, he will be
But not
like,
without taking what's his he, first, for sure.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he'll steal some gold and stuff.
I wonder if the Cersei's first... I think we're going to have, like, two halves to this season, right?
Mm-hmm.
This, like, basically, the next Battle of Winterfell. And, like, Cersei's kind of plot line up to that point is going to be, like, dealing with Euron. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's definitely going to betray her. It's just, I don't know if he's going to... Like, or, she's going to have to do wildfire to get rid of him?
No. Or, something's going to happen, and he's going to go steal the silver and then leave.
I don't think he's going to betray her until after she's overthrown, though, because he's all about wanting to get with the queen.
Why hasn't her hair grown out, though? That's annoying.
I think she keeps it cut short. They said some where she feels like, yeah, it's her new self.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for her.
Good for her. So much in this scene... to go over in King's Landing. We'll stay right there with Cersei and Euron. I thought, in my view, looking back on the scene and again watching it three times now, that Cersei the entire time, very Cersei of her, playing Euron to get him to have sex with her so that the baby she can pass off as his and not her incestuous
Ain't no
lover's
baby.
Kid.
Ain't no baby.
That's a food Happy. Baby.
Oh, wait, wine baby, guys. We discussed this. Wine baby.
No, ain't no baby. I'm telling you. Ain't
There's
no baby.
A baby.
Because you know what I was looking at? I watched before last night's episode. I watched season 7, the last episode of season 7. Now, we all know how clever Cersei is, right? She doesn't make that many mistakes. Like, she doesn't make that many big mistakes. But, like, after they had the meeting and Tyrion comes to sit down with her and have that talk, she's sitting there and she holds her belly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really? Were you just doing that for show? Because if she... you know, was really pregnant, like, would she even let him know? Would she
yes.
put her hand out, like,
she's
you know,
really
I mean,
pregnant.
She's showing her hand.
I think the truce, maybe, that they agreed upon was maybe Tyrion saying, you know what, since Daenerys can't have children,
your baby.
Your baby can sit on the Iron Throne after Daenerys.
Yeah.
Deal.
No. Yeah. I'm telling you, she was lying, and I feel like it was all a part of her plan.
But then
because
what?
When they left, she was like, there wasn't a truce. She was lying the whole time. She
right.
wasn't sending her men or anything. She just basically held her belly and he was like, you're pregnant. And she's like,
but then we don't know what they said.
Well, and in the seasons before that, I think it was season 6, the very first episode, they had where little Cersei went to go see that witch and the witch told her 3 will be their crowns,
yeah.
3 will be their shrouds. So she's only going to have 3 children.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Either she thinks she's pregnant and she's not, but like for some, I like your idea, but the reason I think that she at least thinks that she's pregnant is because one, why would he like the face, like her facial expression when he says, I'm going to put a little prince in you is like, oh shit, there's already one in there.
Yeah.
Well, she turns and she actually tears up. That's the one time when she turns away from Euron, when she's finally leaving after the, you know, the rendezvous in her chambers, she does turn away and you can see her tear up and kind of look down, briefly kind of look down. Only
yeah.
she grabs her chest, but briefly look down.
I think she's really
I
pregnant.
Mean, she could have had a miscarriage and then everything could have fallen out so
yeah.
she can't have a new baby.
She is old.
Oh.
Because
yeah.
that happens.
She's not of childbearing.
Everything
no,
falls
she's
out.
She's not having another baby.
And
she is drinking heavily on that baby.
That's what I'm saying.
Baby belly, so maybe she's not.
The pregnant. Wine baby.
Yeah. The other part of this, Cersei's line about the elephants. Come on. I was expecting elephants. That's disappointing. There was no elephants.
So yeah. were the book readers.
Yes.
But that was kind of meta.
We
again,
are
right?
so sorry, yes. my lady.
A little meta, because everybody's going to be disappointed.
Well.
I just
Cersei's
felt like, you want to ride on some bit, because Daenerys came in with a dragon,
yes.
and now
yes.
you want elephants.
Now you want Dumbo.
Other parts of this?
Compensating, for sure.
Yes.
I want. Yeah. I'll take an episode with no dragons if I can get the direwolf pack back, though.
They're coming, right?
They're coming.
Ghosts.
They're coming.
John's direwolf ghost. I believe is going to make a return.
With a pack.
Very
a pack.
Soon.
He's supposed to be at Winterfell, though. There shouldn't even be a return. I'm sad.
I know. I know. Yeah, I know.
We're just moving
on. In King's Landing, two other very important scenes. Bronn and Qyburn in the brothel. Like, Bronn can't even find time to have his way.
Poor Bronn.
And then, come on in here, Todd. No, Todd, we'll give a little behind the scenes. Todd Modestus is
Jeff
producing.
And
that's okay. What's
Jeff
up, Todd?
Hey, Todd.
Oh,
oh, yikes.
No.
Being recorded, you're very loud. You're very loud, as always.
Yeah.
And well, how about we have Kat and Christina share a mic? Is that cool? You
well,
guys?
Work,
yeah.
Why, is that mic dead?
Oh, no.
We
so
don't
we
know.
Do all this and then we can't. They can't hear?
Well, you'll be able to pick her up. I'll post-edit it.
Could you hear me?
Behind.
Okay. Yes.
A little behind the scenes here. Yeah,
so
just
there's something wrong with that
together.
Mic here.
Okay.
There we go.
There we go.
I'll turn you. We'll post edit it.
Death and boobies.
Death and boobies.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks, Todd.
Saving us.
Thanks, Todd.
Yeah, he needs a round of applause for that. Saving me.
I learned more in these 4 or 5 minutes than I knew the whole thing because I've never watched
it. All right.
Our first review.
Yeah. So, Bronn getting the crossbow that Tyrion killed his father with. Is this a red herring? Bronn's obviously going to get a chance to use it sometime, I would think.
He's going to try to kill Jaime, and Jaime's going to kill him.
If that's his season 8 plotline, they just should have killed him in the battle of the, like, when he was shooting at the dragons Dragon. on the scorpion thing. Yeah. They should have just killed him.
He's
there.
A little bit of a plot device. He was a plot device to save Jaime, and now is he a plot device to kill Jaime?
He's not going to kill Jaime.
Yeah, but Bronn, isn't he like a sellsword?
Yeah,
so,
that's how Tyrion met him.
Yeah, so that's what he does. And I feel like anybody who goes down there, does he have to go to the north?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's going to go to the north, and then he's going to see the army of the dead, and then he's going to be like, oh.
What she said after, Qyburn said after they're done dealing with the dead. So I would assume this is after the big battle. Which we probably won't see Bronn again until episode 4 or 5.
Which, that's right. The thing. Like, after they're all done fighting, I don't think that he's going to be able to witness that and then do that.
It would be the ultimate betrayal. And Jaime did betray Bronn when he refused him his castle and his wife. Bronn was not happy about it.
Yeah, well.
Finally, Theon rescues Yara. Throwaway scene. Yeah. I thought that was, if there's something that was poorly done in this, there's a couple of things. We'll get to the other one.
Really?
That was, I mean, you're telling me they had no problem at all with the entire Iron Fleet there, rushing in, no casualties, get her, get out.
Yeah. Counterpoint. When Yara and Ellaria, we were kind of canoodling on the boat as well. It's kind of like a
canoodling.
Great joy rite of passage to be caught with your pants down.
Yeah.
When you're trying to bang, and then you have someone come and get you when you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
So we've seen it before with them. It just kind of runs in the family.
Yara did say Daenerys will need somewhere to retreat. When she loses, I think it's when or if. I don't want to say she said when.
She said if.
Did she say if?
If they can't hold the north.
If they can't hold the north.
That's right. They got to retreat to an island because they can't swim. Right?
Are they setting that up, or is that just, again, is that another red herring?
No, I think that's, I mean, this is the only time that you said anything when we were watching it out loud. You're like, everyone was like, oh, because it made a lot of sense because I was wondering why they kept her alive and why this storyline went on for so long.
I did a very good job last night of keeping quiet because there were so many things I wanted to say.
Why can't they swim?
Which would have been bad.
Because they don't.
Yes, that would have been a bad.
They swim in The Walking Dead.
Guest.
They're going to have to go somewhere. I mean, all of that stuff is going to be destroyed.
I believe they're going to lose this battle.
Yeah, and it's really nice for them to have a plan B because Daenerys and Tyrion weren't having any plan Bs last season, and we all saw how that turned out.
So you think they're going to lose the battle against the Army of the Dead?
Yes.
I believe they're going to lose the first battle, and this is just going back to our predictions and previews episode. And this is obviously just one person's theory on this. I believe when all the talk from the producers and Weiss and Benioff have said there's this big battle and it's the most expensive battle we've done. And in separate paragraphs, we say, well, there's going to be this battle in Winterfell. I think that they've set it up where everybody's going to expect the battle in Winterfell to be that big battle that cost $65 million, it took
but
six and
not.
X film. I think there is a battle in Winterfell. I think they lose it, and then everybody has to gather in the South again, and that's the final stand. And I think it's a
the
little
battle,
bit
the battle, not the war.
Correct.
Like they lose the battle.
The bigger battle isn't in Winterfell. The bigger battle's coming after they lose Winterfell.
In King's Landing?
Somewhere, King's Landing or outside of it. Any Lord of the Rings, you watch Lord of the Rings, they had the battle outside of Minas Tirith. The Plains of Pelennor, Battle of Pelennor.
It could be like in between the North and King's Landing.
So you think that you think the Night King is going to win?
The initial battle, yeah.
The initial battle.
And they retreat back to the South somehow.
And there's some...
And the Iron Islands.
And I think it does go back to what this entire episode, I think I've said three or four times, where Daenerys needs to do something to prove her value and her loyalty to the North in losing that battle. I don't know if it's another dragon. Maybe it's her, or I don't know what. And then Jon takes over because he's now a Targaryen, where they'll prove that the Targaryens are allies to the Starks.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, I kind of agree too. Okay, so let's go back to Winterfell now.
Oh my God, because you just blew my mind with that, though.
I like it. There you go. Karstarks arrive back there, and Sir Davos points out the sigil and then once again talks about Northerners being stubborn as goats.
Yeah.
You want their loyalty, you have to earn it, and also suggests splitting the Seven Kingdoms,
mm-hmm.
which is something I think we've all theorized about this. Yeah. That with the end of the show is there'll be no Iron Throne, it'll be some other setup, and Sir Davos says that.
Yeah. The proposal is a proposal. That's what he said.
The proposal is a proposal.
Has her little kingdom, so I mean, really, it's just the Six Kingdoms.
Well, they had that before, right? Like they had.
I mean, it was kind of that way.
Yeah.
Already.
Until the Targaryens came over?
Well, right, because Aegon made the Seven Kingdoms one.
And
right.
Then you had wards of the North and the South and the...
But...
I don't know.
What was that I was watching where they were saying that the Greyjoys, like, everybody wanted to be their own king.
Yeah.
And wasn't it during Robert's Rebellion when all of that came together again?
Yes.
Because didn't, like... Daddy Greyjoy, didn't he say he was king of the Iron Islands?
Yeah, and then they were
like, yeah, and then it was like, nope, no, you're not. It's Robert. Like, I think that they tried that multiple times,
right?
Yeah. And
that's
it just kept getting united.
That was the last time that Ned and Robert saw each other was, I think it was called the War of the Ninepenny Kings?
No, that's before all
that
of
was
this.
Way
it was
before.
Just the Greyjoy Rebellion.
Yeah, that's right, the Greyjoy Rebellion. Yeah, and that's the last time they saw each other. And before that, it was...
Didn't Walder Frey try and do it too? Like, didn't he try and say
did
that?
Did
he
rebel,
was...
Walder Frey?
I think that there was something where during the rebellion, one of them kind of broke off and was like, oh, y'all go fight, and then I'll just be like king over here. I swear that
sounds
happened.
Like something Walder
that
Frey
does,
would do.
That does, because he Frey did say neutral in that.
Yeah,
fight,
pretty
right?
much.
So that's why I'm thinking, like, they've tried this over and over, except they keep getting dudes who are like, nope, we're going to take over everything and bang all the whores.
After Davos gets done with his speech, Varys on one of the balconies looks down at Jon and Dany, and I didn't pick this up the first time, but very ominously has a line that says, nothing ever lasts. Mm-hmm. And then it zooms into Jon and Dany, which again, towards the end of the episode, probably find out why. Also, funny line, one of the Dothraki commanders says, the dragons have eaten 18 goats and 11 sheep. And then Daenerys says, they're starving. Or they're not eating. 18 goats and 11 sheep
isn't
enough.
That's what she said. Well, they're not eating. They don't
they're
like the
eating.
North.
We've got. I think she was just like, okay, I want that dick. Oh, my God, the dragons aren't eating. We've got to go take them. Ride. Make them hungry.
So let's get to the dragon ride. I loved this episode, but if I'm being true and not just a fanboy, if I'm being true to my feelings, and I've defended the show last season and against, you know, we were doing the podcast against a lot of criticism.
From me.
I didn't like the dragon ride. I thought it was fan servicey. I didn't like it. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. It was beautiful. It was beautiful,
I didn't
like it.
They didn't have to do it the first episode, right?
I was upset. I felt like it should have been a bigger deal that he got on that dragon.
Thrown in there.
Well, I mean, like they said, only a Targaryen can ride a dragon. And I feel like if he didn't do it this first episode, whenever he were to ride a dragon in the previous, probably to attack the whites, it would have just made no sense for him to be a pro at it.
Oh, that's true.
Right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. So it's like training wheels?
So who liked the dragon ride?
A little too CGI, but I mean, it was cute, very cute.
How to Train Your Dragon.
I mean, I just like the dragons being nasty and watching them bang.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Ooh. Great
it's
scene.
Totally like my cat.
Their dragon face. And my dog.
Lots of mean mugs in this episode. Drogon's probably...
That ain't my
daddy.
I don't know if it was a mean mug, though. It was kind of like, let's get it on.
Oh,
oh, you thought Drogon was feeling it.
He was definitely feeling it.
I'm not calling him daddy.
Yeah.
We go back to Winterfell. We see Gendry and the other blacksmiths forging the dragon glass, and that's where we get the Arya Hound reunion. Yeah. And the Hound says, "You left me to die." And then Arya says, "First, I robbed you."
Yes.
Great line.
Yeah. And that made him proud.
I know.
And Arya, who is Team Arya Gendry? Because that seems like it's a thing now.
Me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She had put on her flirting faceless face.
Right?
She even did that back turn, like, "Oh, hey, boy."
I'm the only rich girl you know.
Yeah.
Call me.
I think that would be a fabulous couple if that happened.
They might need to. I mean,
that would be awesome.
If they do end up, like, reproducing the Seven Kingdoms, send Arya down to the Stormlands and, like, recreate these Baratheons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We finally get to...
they always wanted Rob and Ned. They wanted to have little babies together.
Aww. They're going to join houses.
Oh, my God. Robert said that. I have a son. You have a daughter. They'll marry and we'll join our houses. Yes.
Coming to life.
We finally get to one of the more incredibly acted scenes, I think, in the series, and that is Sam and Dany. They first meet with Jorah in tow. John Bradley, who plays Sam, I watched that on repeat. I kept spinning it back and watching it again and again. Incredible job.
He was going for his
Team
Emmy.
Sam
I'm sorry.
He may win an Emmy just on that.
Because I'm sitting there like, why is he mad? His daddy treated him like crap.
Because you ever had like any
his past
relationships that are like kind of fucked up and like it's pretty sad if someone
but he
died
was just like ooh.
So here
to
is
that when his dad died, but he was like, oh fuck.
Yes,
okay. And then, but my brother, I can go see my brother.
Cat.
And then she was
my
like,
dog.
If you look, if you go watch it again,
my
if you look fish. At the reactions of John Bradley, of Sam, when his dad, a little bit sad, but he's willing, and he kind of says, okay, well, I'll just go back. When she says, I executed your brother, then he loses it.
Yeah.
And loses, like, I gotta go.
So, yeah, maybe it was about the brother.
All right. Jorah's disappointment. Also on that, the fight was haunting. Like, oh boy, you did it, Dany. You did
Jorah
it.
Jorah bugs me.
He wasn't there when Daenerys burnt the Tarleys, right? Because he was off in the.
He was getting his skin peeled off.
Yeah, he was getting his skin peeled off.
You know what? Jorah bugs me. There, I said it.
Really?
Oh,
yeah,
am
I think he's
get
weird.
Hated for that.
Do you think he's a like, creeper or?
Yeah, like
what
how
is
Donald
his
Trump
purpose?
Looks at Ivanka.
He definitely loves her, but his thing is though. He always thinks that he knows what's best for her. Again, another dude with a dick who thinks that he knows what's best. Okay, I'm tired of these dudes
that's
with their dicks.
Hey,
that's
with dicks or without dicks, like they think they know.
Dead dick, alive dick, white dick. We don't care. Get it out of my face.
So Sam rushes out, and then he meets Bran, who has just been waiting
Creepy
in the courtyard.
McGee.
Hail, Creepy
friend,
McGee,
waiting for you.
He's like the family dog. He just sits in the yard in the snow.
And just looks.
I thought the same thing. I watched it twice, and I thought the old friend is Sam. They obviously have some relationship.
Nope,
I
knew it was Jamie all
It was
along.
Jamie. That's all who along. He's waiting for, because he's in the exact same spot that he was when Jamie shows up.
Yeah, but is he going to be mad at Jamie? Because Jamie is the whole reason... He's got the green sight because when
there's no more Bran left anyway.
Yeah, Jamie did that to some other like kid that's not even alive anymore. The three-eyed Raven, like I'm sure he's thankful.
Jamie's gonna be like, Jamie, I forgive you. Anyways, this is what we got to do.
Yeah,
there's no
to
time
win this war. There's
no time for this. This is what we have time for. Let me tell you.
Creepy for this. That is
creepy AF.
I'm worried that this next episode is going to be like the trial of Jamie Lannister, though. That's what the coming up.
And then Bran's going to wheel in and be like, "We have no time for this."
he's the plot device that just keeps things moving on. We got no time for this. So John's waiting in the crypt. Sam leaves, and they decide it's best for Sam to go tell John. Another incredible scene. Like again, Emmy. John Bradley may win an Emmy
that
for this episode.
That was really good.
Yeah.
It's very good. Ned ominously in the background, the statue of Ned Stark in the background through all of that. And John says, "I wasn't a king," earlier when they're talking about burning his father and his brother. And then Sam says, "You always have been a king," and explains to him his lineage. And John can't quite believe it that the man that they have said probably every season multiple times, the most honorable man in the Seven Kingdoms, might have been dumb and stubborn, most honorable man. He says, "This man that I thought was the most honorable man I've ever met has been lying to me the whole time."
Yes.
Devastated his worldview.
See, that pissed
it's
me
like
off.
It's like when you took your DNA kit.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're Irish
and
now.
And I found out I'm Irish.
It
changed my whole life.
It does. It destroys families.
Is
not so bad being Irish. Join the, come on.
That actually made me mad when he said that, because it's almost like the, those rom-coms where there's the, like this crazy mix-up and it's like, oh, what? And then the character gets angry. And it's like, if Ned lied to you, you know your dad. You know that it was for a reason. Right. So why not try and find out the reason before screaming out, I've been lied to.
And Sam made it perfectly clear, like, right after he said that, like, he, you know, like, Robert Baratheon would have killed you. He did this to protect you. And he didn't really change his position either. And I wonder if that's just to set up, like, an internal struggle for him. Like, am I a Stark? Am I a Targaryen? Can I be both?
We don't have time for
this. I loved what, what Sam said,
this is
though.
The new bend the knee, so we don't have time for this.
When Samwell said, you gave up the crown to help your people, would she?
Yes.
That was huge.
Yeah. Because well, I mean, would she? Because this
I
is something she's been...
I think eventually she would. Yeah. I do. I think she will.
Yeah, she's going to give up her life for
I think
her people.
So.
Yeah, she does love him.
Could that possibly be the
but
the thing she does to earn the Northerner's trust? Is bend the knee to him?
That's a good point, because this has been something that she has wanted. Like, if you remember back in the first season, she thought this was her brother's crown. And it wasn't until, like, later that she actually started believing that he wasn't a dragon. Remember when she started, like, playing with the fire and the hot water and all the shit? And she's like, wait a minute, I might be the dragon and he's not a dragon. So this has been something she's wanted since the first season. That crown.
Does this conveniently move everybody, the major players, to where they want to get? Sansa would then be, because Bran's not a ruler, she would be queen in the north. Jon would be queen on the throne if Daenerys is there. And conveniently, everybody would kind of be happy, finally.
That's not the end of the story.
That's no, not the end of the story. That's true.
Nobody
happy. I like that
attention.
One, though, Seth. But
that's a good one. Thank
finally,
you.
We get, and I thought that was going to be the end when we saw Jaime and Bran, but no, it's not the end. Well, that was the end, but before that was, because I knew that was coming. I thought that would be the last scene. Before that, we get the Last Hearth. Out to the Last Hearth. And if you're confused about where that actually was, because I was in the first watch through, that's the Umber House, with the Umber that left to get his people there that Sansa directed away. Devastated, we see blood. We don't see any bodies. And then Dolores Edd and the Night's Watch show up to meet Beric and Tormund. And they find... they find little Ned Umber.
Yeah.
Stuck to the wall with decapitated limbs and body parts strewn around him in a pattern that we have seen. Now, I'm going to give you my theory on this, and then you guys can call me crazy like you usually do.
Sure.
I thought about this a lot, and then I randomly saw the Targaryen sigil in a post that I was reading, and I had never thought about this before. We have seen these spiral symbols when the Children of the Forest turned the Night's King.
Right.
We saw the symbols in the caves, the same spiral symbol. We saw the symbol when, I think it was season two, when the wildlings find dead horses decapitated, and we see the same symbol. It is incredibly similar to the Targaryen sigil that has the spirals, the three spirals on one side, the spirals on the other side. Now, either that is a massive coincidence, which it could be in a show with a lot of symbols, or it means something more. And I'm leaning towards it might mean something more, whether that he is a Targaryen, the Night's King a long time ago. I don't know, but it seems to be and would be a massive coincidence if they designed the Targaryen logo to look so similar to that spiral symbol with something
like
in the middle.
Well, there's two symbols.
I'm calling crazy. All right. Yeah. I need that old sounder we can't use anymore.
There's two symbols. There's that symbol, and then there's that like circle kind of thing with the line through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost looks so. What do the symbols mean? That's what I want to know. Like, why did the Children of the Forest draw these in the cave? Why do they
They're creepy too.
You know, why do they keep putting these symbols there? What's the significance of it?
Yes. I hope that there is. I'm really hoping that there is.
There has to be. There's
not a lot of time left. Maybe it's just like a motif, and it's like the yin to the yang.
Is the way to defeat the Ice King in the symbol?
Mm.
Oh, maybe.
I don't think he would be leaving that around, though, if there was a secret way to defeat him. Like, oh, yeah. Well,
that'd be cocky as shit.
Yes. Come find out. Do they see me, bro.
Yeah.
They populate just by killing people and then bring them back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they don't have sex.
No. Or they, you know, get little babies and decide to touch them with their
What happens
finger.
With those babies? That's what I wonder. Okay, so are they, like, crawling
those are the
undead?
Big chiefs. No, no, no. Those are the ones that control all the dead people.
The actual
the
White Walkers.
Yeah, the actual White Walkers, the
what?
Babies. Yeah. Oh. Those are, like, the big guys.
Oh.
How do they,
so they grow
so fast?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, they probably have, and I don't forget what they call the Superman-looking, you know, place way up in the north. That's probably their home where they groom the babies for years. And if they've been doing this for years, I mean, they have an army of White Walkers.
Thousands of years.
Yes, thousands of years. So we're calling crazy on my –
Targaryens are fire. They're two totally different things. I don't know.
Yes.
But that dude had kind of brown hair.
Huh?
That dude who they turned?
I did, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
He had brown
hair. Maybe it's a Stark, and we're going to find that out probably during the prequel.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't even think
Okay, let's get to, that's kind of the recap.
My God, there's no prequel.
Let's banty about any theories for this next episode. Usually with the trailers, and if you don't want to know what might be coming in the next episode, you might want to stop here, because we're going to talk about some of the stuff that happened in the trailer if you're somebody who doesn't like to watch the trailers. But they show the battle, siege, people on the catamounts or whatever, not catamounts, but whatever you call them, the up top of Winterfell.
The catwalk.
Catwalk is the wrong. Yeah, I was trying to think of the right word, but it's not.
Catamaran.
Usually everything that they show in those trailers happens very early in the next episode. It's almost like clockwork. They never show anything that happens like 15 minutes plus in. So could this surprisingly be the Battle of Winterfell, the start of it? Next episode, they do the trial, obviously, and then somebody shows up.
There's only six episodes.
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to find out that they're coming, so they're going to have to prepare. So, because, like, we heard they said, well, they're going to be here right before dawn next time. So I think they're going to try to hurry up and get the trial of Jaime Lannister done, and then start.
You think there's
preparing.
A trial?
There's no time for that.
There's no time for that.
There's
really no trial.
And we already see him in, like,
there, kinda like Littlefinger.
The preview for the series, like this, the last season, we see him fighting in the Battle of Winterfell. So if there is a trial, there's no time for it. But it looks like he's getting grilled by Daenerys, and I couldn't tell if Sansa was standing up for him or not.
I almost think Daenerys is going to end up standing up for him.
She's going to have to. And, like, they sort of tease you to make you think, because she's like, didn't she say something about you're the man who killed my father or whatever? Okay, well, they all knew he was crazy. She even knew that he was crazy. Yeah. So she's not going to hold that against
him. Do you think they'll bone Jaime and Danny?
Oh, that'd be fun.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
I'd pay to see that.
Yes. And he was so, like, mad. That is Brienne of Tarth only. Okay. No.
I want Brienne to be with
Brienne,
the redhead.
If there is a trial, Brienne's definitely got to come.
No, he's going to die in Brienne's arms.
Oh, boy.
I think Bran's going to die in his arms.
Nah.
Yeah.
No, he's going to die in Bran's arms.
So then if Jaime dies, Brienne could be with the redhead.
Yeah.
The ginger boy.
Tormund, let's go.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tormund, I am interested. What's the arc for those that now, the Night's Watch and the Wildlings who are in Eastwatch and everybody who survived Eastwatch, what is their arc? Are they coming to Winterfell? Are they going to attack from the back? Like, I don't really understand what their arc is.
Tormund needs to attack me from the back.
Yeah, right.
Now that you're baby,
my spicy ginger.
I don't know.
Oh my God! Now that you're Irish, you want some more Scottish in you?
You're Irish. Yeah,
I know.
So on our podcast has no name. Twitter @apodcasthas. We got some questions, and multiple people wanted to know death pool for this episode. So I'll go around the table. Who, if anybody, of the major players or secondary players, I suppose, do you think eats it in this episode? I guess I will start. And
wait, episode two?
Episode two.
Okay.
I'm going to say nobody again. I'm going to say none of the major or second players yet. And I think I'm with you. Episode three, we're going to see chaos. But I will say your death pool. Just hedge it. I don't think anybody's dying yet.
Wow. Well, in the preview, you definitely see Arya taking someone's face. So that could be somebody. I don't know. I'm going to put the over-under at 1.5.
Death pool 1.5?
Yes.
Anybody in particular?
Tormund and
no!
Beric Dondarrion.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, the Night King's like loitering around there, like just poking people in the torso, and then like lighting shit on fire. Oh wait, that was Beric. Someone's got to eat it, and it's not going to be Jaime.
I don't know.
It's not going to be the Hounds because
not yet.
He has to have that reunion. It's not going to be Jaime. He's got to have some kind of reunion. It's not going to be
Tormund.
What about
Maybe
Tyrion?
Qyburn.
Has Tyrion outlived his usefulness because now
no,
he is no
Tyrion.
Longer the cleverest man?
What about
man
Varys?
In seven
What's
kingdoms?
His point?
I thought yesterday that Tyrion was going to, like, Jaime's going to be put into a cell, and then kind of history repeating itself. Tyrion's going to let his older brother off the hook and release yeah. him because, you know, he's yeah. having this whole internal struggle with, like, the Lannisters.
Yeah.
And then he's going to be put to death.
Yeah. Stina, Deathpool.
I'm not going to say any major players, but I'm going to say, you know, five. Just because... Jeez. Okay, listen. This is
my God,
reason,
you're killing
though.
Everyone.
You have a prince in your belly.
Yes, she is our mother yeah. of dragons. Yes,
she is.
And I think it's going to be the Night's Watch. So they're yeah. going to go with Tormund and the Beric Dondarrion to go, and there something's going to happen with the Night's Watch.
Dollar said.
Thank you. I could not think of his name. So
I knew
like,
who you were thinking of.
Yeah, the whatever his name is.
He has blue eyes.
Exactly. I think that they're going to just brushly escape the White Walkers, Tormund. He's going to be like, listen, I know they're coming because he just ate all your King's Watch friends.
Night's Watch.
So he's the one, they're the ones who are going to tell.
Yeah. I like that.
One
so
of them are,
you yeah. think the...
I like it.
The Night King? Yeah. Is going to eat some of the Night's Watch, but not Ginger.
Not Ginger, because Ginger makes
gonna
it.
Get,
yeah.
They, okay. I
I'm
like
pretty
that
sure
theory.
I saw him on the front line with Brienne for the episode 3.
I yeah. feel like... Oh, nothing.
No, I'm agreeing no, I'm done, with her. Yeah. I think a couple of kind of no-name Night yeah. Night Watch.
So that's your Deathpool cat?
I think so, yeah.
No-name Night Watch and
Yeah,
T-Bot.
You know what I mean?
I
yeah.
definitely think Beric Dondarrion, because it's been coming. They yeah. killed his priest.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, they killed the dude who resurrected him all those times.
Why?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I've been thinking that, too. The only thing that stops me from predicting his death yet is why would the Lord of Light keep bringing him back if he has not served his purpose yet?
Oh, yeah.
What's his purpose? I do think he dies. I mean, I don't think he makes it out of the season.
He's also annoying.
Beric? Oh, come on. He has the coolest sword of all time.
I know, right? Oh, maybe not.
Sword.
Okay, maybe.
And then no one
won't.
In, like, what about anyone in King's Landing right now? Like, you don't think Euron hasn't killed anyone this season. He's got to slice somebody.
Maybe.
I'm just waiting Kyber. For the mountain to melt.
Maybe that army she hired, stressed. He's going to be jealous and just kill one of
kill
them
Harry
for
Strickland
fun.
Or, like.
Yeah.
Has because... he served? Okay, so could it be Euron? Because Yara's going there?
Nah, he can't die yet.
He's going to die in the third episode, though, right?
Cersei's
We're all
gonna
leading
kill
the third episode like
well,
crazy.
Well, I think Cersei's going to kill Euron.
You do?
Yeah.
Or the her monsters.
Nah. Oh, yeah. Or the mountain.
Yeah.
Any other predictions for this specific episode or anything else you want to...
Does anyone... What did we think about Arya's sword that she's making Gendry make?
Oh, I wrote that and I skipped it past. So it looked like a spear that was detachable. Is that
yeah.
kind of what
yeah.
it looked like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did she's going to like heave something at the Night King from afar?
Yes.
She was pretty good with a bow and arrow, so maybe it's something
so
like that.
So is she going to kill the Night King?
Oh,
is
that'd
it Arya?
That would be nice.
I think it's going to be Jaime. He's going to be the ultimate King Slayer.
That isn't... I don't believe... I guess they're making out of dragon's glass, so maybe it is for it comes right after that scene where Arya meets with Jon, which makes me think, is she having this in her back pocket and she thinks Jon is betraying her house?
No. What if it's detachable because she's trying to make something for the dragon? Because they all know that the dragon's a zombie. So maybe she's trying to make, like,
does she know the dragon's a zombie?
Thing. Yeah, because Bran knows. So, I mean, once Bran knows, everybody knows.
Oh, yeah. Freaking Bran.
That's a great theory.
Yeah.
Bran can't die. He's just going to sit in his wheelchair.
I don't think Bran's going to die because no one would really care if he did. It just wouldn't have that much meaning.
No, I think there was something to Bran and the way that he gave that knife to Arya in episode where he looked at her funny. And I feel like he's going to have to do something. Like, he's probably going to have to... warg or something like that
into her into Arya.
No, I think he's gonna have to like warg or something like that. Like, is there a way that maybe with the Weirwood tree or whatever he's doing, he's gonna do something magical with the Night King and she's gonna have to kill him?
Yes,
right.
I'm all in for that. Like, Teapot, I'm with you.
And some because it's so weird how he handed it to her and his look,
that was
I agree. That's what I predicted on our previous predictions. I said
with the creepiness,
yeah,
very
everything
creepy.
He does,
warg into the Night King. Arya realized the only way to kill the Night King is to kill His brother, Bran.
Yeah.
Into the heart.
That's
with
it.
The,
okay.
Hey, we can just shut this down.
Yeah, we got it. Done. No need to watch the final five episodes. We got you covered here. That is A Podcast Has No Name. Be sure you follow us on Twitter at A Podcast Has. We're on Instagram at A Podcast Has, GOT. Be sure you follow us there. I'm at Seth Dunlap on Twitter.
Michael Stiles everywhere. Thank you.
At the Nema Turtle?
I don't even. I have to just have Nema a kid. It's Nema Turtle on Instagram.
And it's Stina Molinario.
Bayou 95.7.
At Teapot B97.
I'm not on the twatter.
That's going to do it for Stiles, Stina, Kat, Teapot. I am, the first of my name, Seth boobies. Of House Dunlap.
Death and boobies.
Death and boobies. Death and boobies. Death and boobies. Death and boobies. Death and boobies. Death and boobies.